You know, when I was painting this window, I just realized that most of when we talk about Christmas and the season, the entire story of Jesus' birth is recorded only in two chapters, in Matthew chapter 2 and also in Luke, just one chapter. So if you think about those, this tremendous story and big story that we know of Christmas, it's extracted only from two chapters. So if you look in the Gospel according to John, there is nothing about Christmas there, it seems like. There is nothing, it seems like.
Oh, so maybe there is.
It seems like, exactly. But maybe there is something amazing that we need to remember when we talk about Christmas. And that something is actually amazing because it is God himself who came into this world and said, "Here I am among you."
You know, and it's interesting you remind us of that because it reminds me of a Christmas story that it's kind of like the duck story that Sergio told. It doesn't really make you think of Christmas.
Right.
But after I thought of it a little while, it hit me that it's very much like it.
Okay.
This happened when I was a freshman in college. I used to work as a janitor. And so every night I'd go to the gym and I'd clean the gym after it closed. And this meant that I would leave the gym late at night. And on my campus, we would have a lot of skunks. And something that people don't really believe is that I absolutely love skunks.
Really?
For some reason, I do believe that.
You have a pet?
What do you like about skunks?
You know, if you look at them, they'll just waddle around.
They do.
And they're like dark black, and then they've got that bright white stripe on them. And to me, they're just fascinating to watch.
So, from afar.
From afar, safely.
Very far.
So there was this one time where I was working in the gym, and I was working in the basement, and I just happened to glance out the window, or the window well, and there happened to be a skunk that was running back and forth frantically.
Oh.
And I went up to the window and looked at it, and I realized that this skunk was trapped in the window well.
Oh.
And so, of course, since I love skunks,
right.
I wanted to save this skunk.
Yeah.
And so I called the people that I thought would be the best people to save it. I called campus security. And needless to say, they didn't sound as excited about saving it as I did.
Yeah.
So they told me to come back the next day. And if it was still trapped, then we'd go save it. So I went back the next day, and I ran down to the basement, and I saw this skunk in the window well, still there.
Oh, wow, still trapped.
And so I called campus security, and again, they didn't seem too excited to save it. And I remember thinking to myself that if campus security wasn't going to save it, I was going to save it. Mm-hmm. And I had my dirtiest, junky clothes that I didn't mind getting. I didn't mind if they got dirty.
Yeah.
They were already ripped and torn. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to go down into that window well, and I'm going to go rescue that skunk. And, you know, sure, I'll come out. Like, I won't come out the best.
But
in the end, that skunk will be safe.
Okay.
And
did you save him?
Well, let's just say that the skunk's fine.
So.
And I have a memorable story.
Welcome to Cross Connection Special Edition Season's Greetings. And I really enjoyed Phil's story.
Was that good?
Yeah, it was. By the way, Phil is our producer of this show. So if you don't like Cross Connection, write to him.
If you like it, write to Oleg. If you don't like it, write to Phil.
Write to us. Yeah. But it is fascinating. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced anything of the same nature, when you embarrass stories or something of that nature, or when you had to humiliate yourself for the sake of others.
So you want me to recall a humiliating experience in front of a few people to now in front of all the people watching?
Yeah, if you just be transparent.
I'm
just
okay.
Have you had anything?
Well, I'm a terrible actress, and one time I had to be in this little clip for school, and it was it was embarrassing because I'm terrible at acting, and I had to like come in and scream and act like there was a fire, and anyway, it was really bad. But
one thing that comes to my mind is when I was little, I had never played soccer before, so I went to play soccer, and I was the goalie, and I was nervous. But then when I was on this end, and they were all playing, all my team was trying to score on the other end, I was like, soccer is so easy. I just have to stand here. Like, this is great. Good job, guys. Keep it up. And then they started coming over to me, and I went, oh, no. Oh, no. Someone steal the ball. And then, of course, it's so embarrassing when they just kick one right past you. So.
But would you agree that pretty much everyone has those stories when we need to do something that we don't like doing?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's really humiliating. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing what we will see today in today's study, because we will see how one person was not only willing, not only able, but sorry, but not only able, but actually wanted to humiliate himself for the sake of others.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And we are in Christmas season, and we talk about holidays, and we talk about this beautiful story of the nativity story, of the birth of Jesus story. And it's fascinating because it's recorded only in two Gospels, and we learned it by this time. So what are those two Gospels, just two Gospels?
Matthew and Luke.
Yeah, Matthew and Luke. So just two Gospels. And we started our series in the Gospel according to Matthew, and we talked about the genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense to talk about the genealogy during this Christmas season.
Yeah.
And today we will make just the same mistake.
We'll make even less sense today.
Exactly, less sense today, because we will be talking about Christmas in the Gospel according to John, which doesn't make any sense. And you'll see why now. Okay, let's go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And Stephen, if you could read for us 1 through 5.
By all means. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
This is beautiful, but it has nothing to do with Christmas. It has nothing to do with those beautiful, with that beautiful stable or magi and shepherds. What does this text tell you about God and Jesus?
I think, you know, we spent three shows? Well, I guess really two, because the genealogy didn't do this. But we looked through the idea of God as flesh, as a person, and what that meant to the people around him, and how he came in and who he affected. And now we see in these five verses this kind of cosmic, almost unfully comprehensible description of the entity that was made into this little baby.
This is context.
Yeah.
Okay. Because John leads us immediately all the way back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pre-time.
Pre-time.
Seems like.
Wow, pre-time. What is pre-time?
Don't ask me.
Wow, this is great. Yeah. And I really enjoyed what you, Sergio, said. Elisa, what does it mean to you to start a Christmas story thinking about God or Jesus who came to this world all the way in the beginning?
Well, it puts things in perspective for me because, you know, we think of Christmas, oh, the baby Jesus, and it's so sweet, and, you know, he came as a baby. But when you start with God came as a baby, he was the light of men, he was from the beginning, there was nothing without him, everything comes from him, and in that context, it makes it so much more powerful, because it's not, oh, a baby in the manger, and how sweet, and the angels sing, and it's cute. It's like the ruler of the universe
that's very good.
Gives everything to everyone.
Wow, this is amazing.
It's important that John was written last, too, right?
Okay,
John
yes.
was the gospel that was written last. Mm-hmm. And so even to the readers of that time, he's saying, this Jesus that you've heard about, that you maybe read about, this is who he really was. This is how...
from the beginning, that pre-time, as you just said. And this is amazing because he takes us back to creation as well. Because he says here, he was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him.
Wow,
all
big.
Things, what does it mean?
Big.
Who was made through him?
Everything.
Everything.
That means us.
Yeah, it means us.
Right.
And now this is something that basically mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
When Adam and Eve sinned against God, what was their immediate reaction?
To run from
fear.
To run, to hide.
Shame, yeah.
Hide. And remember, what did God do? He walked in this Garden of Eden. We can read about it in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Let's just read those two verses.
Run there.
Okay. Yeah, quickly. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. And whoever finds it first,
Reads it first. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?"
So this is amazing. I'll tell you why it is amazing. God always wants to be in union with his creation.
Mm. That's good.
He loves his creation so much that even if you sin, he just comes down, walks among you and says, "You know what? Where are you? Mm. I'm here to be with you, no matter what you've done."
Yeah.
And he's hiding. Mm. They're hiding. Two of them are hiding. That is why it is very important to understand something. Why God? And it says, actually, we just read five verses. What does it tell you about our God then, today in our lives?
I like what you said. I mean, the revealing of God wanting from the very beginning, wanting to dwell among you. And that's kind of the theme of this passage, too. God became with us. And it just becomes all the more almost incomprehensible when you see this passage that describes God. We have all these little words to describe the world and the universe as we know it, and how he even transcends all of those things. He transcends time. He transcends space as we know it. He transcends all those things, and he became an embryo. He became a little fetus. He became a little baby. He became one of us.
Great. But if we also look at the entire Old Testament, which is the First Testament in the Bible, how God was trying to reunite with people. Can you just remember anything that God was trying to reunite with his people?
I think the whole Old Testament, it seems like.
Old Testament, yeah. So how was he trying to? Sanctuary?
Yeah.
Sanctuary,
yes. Because he dwelled in sanctuary. Mm-hmm. How else was he trying to unite with people?
His prophets.
Prophets, absolutely. He was trying to unite with people through prophets as well. What else?
Man, Elissa's nailing it.
well done.
I'm waiting for her next answer.
This is excellent. The scripture, because through Moses.
The angels appeared,
absolutely. Right. So all the time throughout history, we see God is trying to reunite with people. Mm-hmm. He's trying, this is something that I want to reveal myself to you through the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Today I want to reveal myself to you through the prophets, or through their message, rather. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Today I would like to reveal myself to you through nature, etc., etc. But ultimate revelation is coming.
Hey, look, before you go on, I just want to back up just a little bit. I mean,
please.
I think it's just something came to me. You know, the fact that you said all things were made by him.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking about if I made something, right, and it didn't work out the way I intended, you know, I could just scrap it and start over, you know, because, I mean, unless I, you know, if I had those resources to make another one, I'll just make another one. You know, especially if it's really tangled up and it's trying to hide from me and all this stuff.
Yes.
Why would I go through all that?
You know? Unless you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that has to also be something about the character too. That,
yes.
You know, it was something, obviously something special that he put here. It was special to him, for him to make something. Because I mean, you think about it. It's like if I made something, I mean, it would be special, but it's not really that special. I don't think. You know, but to actually sacrifice for something that I made, I'm not sure I would. I'm not aware of how much I'd be willing to do that, but I think that just says something about God, you know, that his creation, that he actually values it that much.
Yeah.
This is excellent, because first of all, we need to remember when God created us first, he created us in his image. Mm-hmm. It means we've got feelings, we've got our own right to choose, to decide.
Right.
We are almost like, maybe I sound like a serpent. We can almost be like gods. Because this is what serpent was saying. Yeah. You will be like gods. Right. No, but he said, no, you are already created in my image.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's just, I love what Stephen said. Because when you think of the fact that sin is the start of humanity as we know it, and not the end of it, like it could have been, is in and of itself a massive revelation of God's love.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, this is beautiful. We need to take a break, unfortunately. And after the break, we will see how this great revelation, God was revealing himself in the Old Testament, he was revealing himself in the creation itself. But there is a great revelation of God that happened 2,000 years ago. So don't go anywhere to discover this story.
Revival is the renewal of the spiritual energies of the soul. It has to do with a new commitment to Jesus every day. It leads us to a deeper experience in prayer. It leads us to the diligent study of God's Word and a life of service and Christian witness.
Welcome to a special edition of Cross Connection, Season's Greetings. And this is simply amazing, because God decides to, first of all, He loves us so much that He always wants to unite with us. That is why in Genesis we read this amazing story. He wants to be in union with His creation, even though this creation sins. He doesn't want to, as Stephen said, He doesn't want to destroy it. No. No. He wants to rebuild it, renovate it, restore it. Okay, and but the most crucial Christmas story, we are coming to Christmas story in the Gospel according to John, and you'll see why. And Elisa, if you could read for us verses 10 through 14.
He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Okay. First of all, I know that one of the verses is Elisa's favorite verse, yes? What is your favorite verse?
Verse 12.
Why is it your favorite? Why is it your favorite?
It just does something to me. Every time I hear He gave us the right to become children of God, it just seems like such an honor and so precious.
Okay, and Stephen, where do you see Christmas in these verses?
I got to go with verse 14.
Okay. Why is it?
It says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Okay.
So, it's kind of... You know, you think about the manger, that's when Jesus pops onto the stage, you know, and so now we're seeing Him, and this, I just got an epiphany.
Good.
Because it says, we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yes.
But it wasn't any really big, glorious, shining lights coming out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But we saw Him come in a very lowly fashion.
This is amazing, because, and you said one more word that is very important, stage. This is cool, so I'll tell you why. Because when we read this verse, it actually says, and I will use just one Greek word, it says, and the Word became flesh. In Greek it sounds as, and the Word eskuneosen. Eskuneosen is like scene. What is scene? S-C-E-N-E.
Like a play.
Like a play. So in Greek mind, oh, here He is on the stage.
Oh, wow.
That is
wow. So, yeah. Well, why is it cool, Lisa?
I don't know. I just never really thought about it that way. But, the way it would connect to the people hearing it at the time.
Absolutely. So first, wow, here He is. He comes on the stage. This is one. But there is another, another meaning for the same word. In the Old Testament, there was one place that was called actually skune. Skune means a tabernacle or temple. So in other words, Jesus and the Word decided to tabernacle, to be that temple among you. So, no, this is amazing. How do you see this picture, and what does it mean? Why is it amazing? Is it amazing at all?
Yes, it's amazing.
Why?
Because He went to all that effort to be like within us, and the tabernacle itself—it's such a sacred thing, and it's a special place that was really specific. It wasn't like, oh, I might come and hang out a little bit if I feel like it. No, it's like really specific. This is what it's for. This is why I came to dwell among you.
Yeah. Perfect.
You mentioned stage, and you mentioned the tabernacle. So the stage, this is our chance to behold God, you know, like a play. We sit back and we see God before us. And then the tabernacle, God with us, is that we don't see God displayed up in the sky, we see him here with us, dwelling among us. And he's literally a man that could be touched. And not only that, when you touch him, you are healed and made whole.
Wow, Sergio, this is amazing. Thanks. Thanks a lot. No, you did it. Yeah, you described it amazingly beautiful.
Well, that's what's there, right?
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
being in the orchestra pit of a play, you know?
Yeah.
Right there.
Wow. Stephen, I see your eyes are shining.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I'm beholding the glory here. That's great.
Yeah, and this is amazing because now finally we are able to see his glory. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I guess I'm speechless at the moment. But how does it mean, and what does it mean to you that God decided to become flesh, dwell among us, we can see his glory? What does it mean? What for me today? Is there any difference?
So,
well, yeah. No, hey, you're
by all means, man. I was just very anxious because I did kind of, I was hoping we'd actually get back to that point I was raising, you know,
yes,
that glory.
Yeah. Yes.
And, you know, we never saw, rarely do we see Jesus anywhere in these Gospels really, you know, showing off, you know, coming off with looking like God. You know, he was very down to earth.
Mm-hmm. And even tried to hide it. Don't tell people
that's true.
That were done to you. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. So I just kind of like, you know, it's saying we saw his glory. Mm-hmm. I think that just is revealing something very deep about his glory in that, you know, it's not his glory, what God is glorying and what's so cool about him is not that, you know, I can throw a lightning rod down at you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just something far deeper in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I hear a lot when you talk about people attack Christmas, well, for a lot of reasons, but they say, well, Easter is the most important holiday, right? Because it's God's death that gave us our salvation. It's all true. The death and resurrection is the most important thing. But what we don't realize about Jesus coming is it's not just, okay, it's the starting point. That's not the only significant part of it, is because that's the moment where he became one of us.
Absolutely. You
know? That's the moment where God became accessible to the point where you could literally touch him and see him. Mm. And it's that accessibility of God that we should celebrate during the holidays.
Absolutely. So whenever Christians think about Christianity or Christ, we most of the time think about Christmas and Easter only. Mm. Because this is what we always encounter. And we forget about even the story in between. Mm. But that story in between is actually about the revelation of God's glory. Yeah. God's glory. So that is why the only thing that we can do is actually look on Jesus all the time, nonstop. And then finally, when we behold his glory, we can shout, "Praise the Lord. Finally, I can see." Okay, and this is amazing because we need to carry on reading. And let's continue reading verses 15 through 18. And Sergio, could
you read for us?
Yeah.
15, John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Wow. That last verse is talking about exactly the same thing that we were talking about. Mm. We cannot see God. No one has ever seen God. Mm. Mm-hmm. That is why everybody is scared and afraid when they see angels. Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to handle the glory of God if we hadn't had that preliminary time of knowing him. In, like he was saying, he kind of hid his glory a little bit. Like you know, he wasn't always just showing off for everyone and revealing himself as God. Kind of reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. There's nothing so strong as gentleness, and nothing so gentle as true strength. And it makes me think, you know, people say, oh, the death and resurrection is like the big moment. But Jesus coming as a baby shows how strong, because it was, I mean, it like split time in half just his coming. Mm.
And, you know, there is something mysterious about the birth of Jesus, and there is something mysterious about his death. And those two mysteries, they are incomprehensible for contemporary mind. First mystery is the virgin birth. This is something that we cannot grasp till this day. And second mystery, the resurrection. This is something that we cannot grasp till this day. We always the majority of people always deny it. But this is what it's all about. That is, from the beginning to the very end, all divine, all God's glory revealed. Okay, We will have to take this short break, but after this very short break, we will talk about the most exciting story that is to follow. So don't go anywhere.
I love learning about my ancestors. It makes me feel like I have a place in history. And I always tell my family, the more you learn about your past, the more you understand the present. But the past doesn't have all the answers, especially about the future. There's so much uncertainty and so much fear in the world today, which is why I'm so happy that I found something that brings together my past, my present, and my future. I know that no matter what happens, there is a plan. And this gives me hope.
My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So many ways to experience the Bible.
Welcome back to a special edition of Cross Connection. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself, because people can connect with us on Facebook anytime. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's just simply amazing, because God has done everything he can to unite with us. Everything he can. And in fact, there is one verse in Philippians chapter 2, and we just talked about it during the break as well. It's the High Christology, it's called. High Christology. And Stephen, if you can find for us Philippians chapter 2, verses 4, I think it is.
All right.
4, 5, and 6. Yeah, what does it say there?
All right, I'll go ahead and read it.
Yeah, just read it.
You let me know when to stop. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death on the cross.
Even the death on the cross.
Yep.
So this is simply amazing. And he puts it right. And Christ's desire was actually also, he said something about us, because he wanted us to react to his desire to be in union. Mm. And in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, and if Sergio could read them for us.
Sergio can. Yes,
yes, please.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me.
So this union that he's praying about, he says, I want them to be in union with each other, and I also want them to be in union with us. Mm. So union is, what does it mean to be in union with Christ?
To not have anything blocking that connection. You know, I think it's different for each person, but I think you know whether you're connected. Like, if you have a close relationship with, say, your sibling, you know, we haven't talked in a few days. You know, I wonder what's up with that person. Or even if you're really close, you can tell when that person is upset with you or is worried about something else. Or, you know, but it takes time, first of all, time spent together and just making sure that there's never that connection lost.
Okay, so you touched on the question of friendship, I guess, there. So what does it mean to be friends, and how can the friendship grow from just friendship to great friendship? How does it happen?
Well, you know, the author of this gospel in 1 John, he writes about having the love of God be planted in your heart like a seed, that it may grow. So it's a thing that you... need to accept, you need to cultivate it, but also it's something that's almost, excuse me, it's also something that's like independent of you. It's its own life force, mm-hmm. and that really it needs to be nurtured and it can grow, but it becomes something even greater and grander and mm-hmm. beyond what mm-hmm. you just are.
Yeah, Stephen.
You know, I think of a mechanism like a watch that has the little cogs inside in there, and the two are kind of going like this. And I think when you say the word union, I kind of think of it that way. You know, Christ is moving on me, and I'm being animated, and mm-hmm. and as I'm moving, you know, Christ's purposes are also coming into fruition. And I just think of that sort of analogy as sort of kind of applies to that. That's how I sort of envision this idea of a union. You're coming together to make one operation. Mm-hmm. Christ coming into your life, and he's saying, okay, I have this great purpose for your life. I have this great love that I want to see replicated in you. And as he's moving in my life, as he's revealing himself more, as I'm realizing more of who he is, it animates me. Mm-hmm. And as I'm being animated, yeah. his purposes are coming to get together, and it's just this synergy going on, you know?
This is excellent, because whenever I think about my upcoming trips, I'm very excited about those. Mm-hmm. And I am happy about my upcoming trips before even the trip. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm in the trip, I was like, okay, come on, it's been 2 days, I'm bored now, so let's plan something else, right. something more fun. And right. it brings me joy
right, right.
to anticipate yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the
true.
Trip.
It's true.
Is it the same yeah, with you
absolutely.
Guys?
True.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is simply amazing. And I'm just amazed with what God has left us with. And Jesus, he says, you know, guys, I am coming to you. Mm-hmm. You know, guys, I will come to you. Mm-hmm. You know, guys, I am with you always. And we can wait together for this final ascent, if you wish, mm-hmm. final inheritance, because you already inherited everything. Mm-hmm. So now there is nothing for you left. Just be rejoice, just rejoice and just be joyful. Mm-hmm. And I'm joyful. And this is simply probably what this union is all about. Mm. When I anticipate that my friend is always with me. Mm. Or for instance, when I was dating, okay, I'm too long. Okay, what are different examples or what are other illustrations that you can bring to make it very practical and tangible?
You mean as far as waiting?
Union or union and waiting maybe this union?
Well, I think you got to get to know somebody if you're going to be united with them, you know?
So Facebook will not help?
Well, if they have some revealing information on their Facebook, then that okay. would help. But I think you've got to get to know somebody, you know? So that includes, you know, sort of mm-hmm. opening up. So you got to share, you know?
Investment.
There you go.
Investment.
A lot of investment. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you gauge like how much of an investment you're making, like the time and the effort. Mm. You know, you can think, oh, I'm great friends with that person, but if you really think about it, oh, how much do I want to talk to them? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. how interested in I am mm-hmm. am I in that person specifically? Mm-hmm. It could be really different. Like you could think, oh, I'm super good friends with that person, and then you don't really spend time with them, yeah. don't ask them about them.
So. Yeah.
I think it's important, too, that we take the conversation beyond what you're describing as just a state of being, mm-hmm. but as something that we need to do, something that requires action, something mm-hmm. that changes mm-hmm. the way that, not just my mindset, changes my mindset, mm-hmm. it changes my heart, but it then needs to change how I live my life, change my actions.
Absolutely.
My everyday life. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 John says to love in actions and in truth. Mm. Jesus said, follow me.
There you go.
Not just be like me in your headspace,
right,
but
right.
follow me.
Right.
And that's me personally, having spent a year now in Cross Connection, looking through a whole account of Jesus' life as according to mm. Matthew, to now be in this admiration and awe of mm. Jesus Christ and mm. who he was and what he did, mm. to then now think, okay, union with him requires just it rationally requires now I need to follow him. I need to live that life. And when I look at my life and how completely distant it is from the life he lived, it's something that it stirs me to something that needs to advance forward.
Otherwise we become just hypocrites.
Right.
Because
right.
we talk about union with Christ, but what about that union? Okay, so how do we live in this union with Christ? Mm-hmm. And there was actually a very interesting article that I just recently read, and the article said as the key to a purposeful life, it's not imitating Christ, but union with him mm. that makes the difference. Mm. It's not just imitating Christ, but union with him that makes the difference in your life. And then this, the author, her name is Sarah Hall, and the article was published in Christianity Today. It's simply amazing because she puts it into perspective of practical application of what it really means to be in union with God, with Christ. So let's just talk about it. What does it mean for me today to be in union with Christ then?
I think that's a good question, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be quite a few people who have actually tried to, you know, try to actually implement Christianity. What, like, how does that actualize itself in my life? I have my own routine.
Yeah. How does this affect your life?
Yeah. I think that's a legitimate question. How does Christ work into something? Let's say you already have something established. Mm-hmm. My life already works.
Yeah.
You know, how do I bring this other entity into it?
Oh, yeah. No. Who do I need to bring? No, Jesus, you stay in Christmas.
Right. Stay in the cross. I can schedule a time to go in there, sing Joy to the World inside the
or
temple.
Or stay on the cross. Don't go anywhere. Right. Stay on the cross. Yeah. We don't need your resurrection anymore, kind of.
Yeah. Sure.
But it makes a difference, and we need to think about it. Let me read just one line, and let's elaborate on that. If I'm united with Christ, my focus can be on staying connected to Jesus. In other words, do I take this job or that job, move to this city or that city, marry this person or that person, have another child, etc., etc.? You, of course, we will think about those things. But how does it affect our losses, our faults maybe, or our disastrous situations or our pains, etc.? How does it affect us?
You know, there was this really cool thing that was going on some time ago. I'm not sure if it was cool or not, but it was like people wore these bands where it said, "What would Jesus do?" You know, and I think that a part of it is an aspect of, bringing Jesus into your life is realizing how awesome the principles which motivated Jesus, the reason why he did the things he did, created such an impact that's impacting us even today. And so now we're like saying, let's bring those principles into our life. And so, as you're saying, when I'm looking for a job, when I'm dealing with coworkers, friends, spouses, you know, now these principles are taking over the principles that I was using. Maybe selfish pride or ambition was motivating why I was doing these things. Mm-hmm. But as you, I think you said it so good. You were reading the book of Matthew, and as you look in there, you just start seeing that these principles come alive, and you see, this is amazing. This is the way to live a life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, this is,
and you look and you think, I think that the mindset really needs to be not how do I bring Jesus into my life, how do I bring my life to Jesus?
Into Jesus, there you go, I like that.
How do I transform my life into what he, and an easy way is, like you said, what would Jesus do? Do something that you think he would do. If when you're walking home, it's cold outside, as you can see, when you're walking home from work today, if you see someone that's hungry and cold, give them your jacket. My jacket costs $160 or something, give it to them. If go get them a meal, do something. I think you'll start to feel the love of God flowing through you in a very powerful way if you do what Jesus did and sacrifice the way
This is also important because it takes us to a different to a second step. It's not just steps, we're not talking about steps, but second thought. When you're united with Christ, then your life is not only about the direction that Jesus takes, but actually the quality of Jesus' life, or the state, the nature. What was Jesus's life about? He didn't even have a place where to lay his head. How often was he casted out of his hometown? He finally was crucified. Yes, we'll have to live the same life maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
And through tears and through joys, and be sometimes in Cana, and sometimes to be in Cana of Galilee and celebrate a marriage.
Right.
And some other time walk towards the...
Well, something worth having has got to have some sort of sacrifice, right? You know, and I think that Jesus showed that, you know, to really love people, it's not always going to work out. It's not always going to feel good. But that's where the true joy in the long term is going to come from, is sticking in there and loving somebody. So, you know, you taking on Jesus' love life, that means pain sometimes. That means tears sometimes.
Okay, this is beautiful. And I just learned a lot today, and I want to implement it in our life during this season, because this is perfect time for us even to feel for us to feel Jesus being present among us. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We will continue our discussion after this short break.
Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord.
Every hour of every day, someone somewhere is praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Seven, seven, seven. Praying at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week.
Welcome back to Cross Connection. This is amazing. God wants to reunite with us, and He expects us to be in union with Him. Because this is what Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. We read about it. His desire is union with us, and He wants us to be in union with Him. Mm-hmm. So we just talked about how this union can be implemented in our lives, and we talked about that my focus is Jesus. If my focus is Jesus, then even if I have to endure some pain, I'm fine because I'm with Jesus. We also talked about the direction and quality of life. What about His victory? Jesus is a victor. How does it affect your life if you know that He is?
Yeah, I mean, you're doing this for nothing if He's not a victor. You're doing this just out of some sense of self-sacrifice or some false sense of doing something that you think matters but that ultimately doesn't. That is what His victory is, what grounds everything that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's the reason it makes it worthwhile.
Usually keep it in mind because it's kind of like the phrase, it's not the end of the world. Like, you know, you just need to remember Jesus had the victory. Mm-hmm. Jesus already paid the price for you.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, John goes on to say it so many times, or Jesus says it in John so many times, I am the truth. You'll learn the truth, or I'll show you the truth at somewhere else. The truth is actually in me, in my DNA. Mm-hmm. You're looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. So if you become one, that's where you need to become one with Him. Because you're tied to the truth.
That reminds me of our last episode of Cross Connection, Real Cross Connection, when we talked about the Great Commission. And it talked about, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me on earth and in heaven. Mm-hmm. And then He ends, just be sure that I am with you till the end of the days. So if the one who is with us has all authority on earth and in heaven, what do I have to worry about?
You know, I think one thing you say about victory that I think we should think about is what is it that we're getting victory over? You know, and I think if we look at what Jesus was talking about, he's saying that, you know, there is evil in the world, but I think also importantly, there's an evil in human nature. Mm-hmm. And all the things that we desire, all the things that we ultimately want, that the good that we actually want in life, there's a part of us that just pulls us away from that. And if we let it, it will pull us all the way away from God and His purposes. I think that's the ultimate thing, is God fulfilling His purpose in our life. Mm-hmm. But Jesus came in here, and He never let that thing that's pulling against us, He never let that pull Him away from God's purpose. And He walked it from the beginning to the end perfectly. And I think that's what Jesus is coming to bring into our life, this ability, the power through Him to be able to actualize God's purpose in our life. you know, the power to be able to overcome that part that's pulling us away from the blessings and the love and the things that we desire. And I think that that would be really cool to have that kind of victory in our lives, you know.
I can almost feel how the Word of God actually is becoming coming to life now. Like, yeah, this is how it works apparently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sergio.
Oh, no, I'm just nodding in agreement.
Okay.
Absolutely.
No, it's excellent, because you were nodding so well.
I was nodding too much, huh? Giving myself neck pain.
No, this is excellent. if we are united with Christ, not only are we united with Christ, but we are also united with God and the Holy Spirit, so we are in union with the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How much more can it get if we are in union with Trinity? Mm.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Okay, and that's just two more points that I wanted to highlight, and then we will just have to draw the conclusion. If I am united with Christ, suffering is not a deviation or a dead end. Mm-hmm. It's not, because there's always something ahead, and Jesus promised us that suffering is nothing, because if you are with me, you will endure to the end, and you will be blessed. And if I am united with Christ, I am freed from my fears forever. Mm. How do you experience that?
Well, one part in later in John, you will hear the truth and the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful feeling to feel like you would be free. And the truth, like if you look, obviously the Bible is truth, but if you look at all the specific verses, you'll find a lot of hope, and so that you can live in freedom, you know, that God paid the price for you, that the victory is in him if you accept it, that he will give you peace. You know, those are all promises that we can claim that make us free. Mm. And like at the time they were like, well, we're not slaves, you know, what are you talking about? And he said, well, anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And it's not fun to be a slave at all. Mm. And I know that sometimes I'll get really weighed down with, you know, I'll always be just a failure, and I can't do anything on my own, and I'm just a mess, and, you know, but if we choose to see ourselves the way God sees us, that it will make us free. If we just look to him, and we're not looking at ourselves like, oh, I'll never be good enough, I'll never be smart enough, I'll never do this, but if we're just looking at him, God sees my value, God wants me to be free. If I just continue to look to him, then the end of the path will be there when I get there. Mm-hmm.
This is great.
Yeah.
What can I say? We just want to be in union with God. Yeah, we have only 3.5 minutes left, and I would like to know what you have learned today, and how you would like to implement this union with Christ. How would you like to live in this union, or how do you live?
Well, you know, if you ask at the beginning of the show, I thought this whole thing was going to be about God and how he came to dwell among us, but he came here so that we could dwell in him. Mm-hmm. And how do we do that? We do that by following him.
Mm-hmm.
And can I confess a sin with you, Oleg? I used to think that you know, these sacrifices that we think of, or these things that we think of doing during the holidays, I'm going to give something to someone who needs it. I'm going to sacrifice some money, give something of myself, some of my property. I used to think that, well, that's a sacrifice that I'm making. But wait, Jesus said, I don't want sacrifice from you. I want mercy from you.
Yeah.
So that in doing that, I'm not making a sacrifice. I am having God's love in me. I am sharing that love with someone else.
Like this is great.
I can help. Through that, he says, you've done it also to me.
Absolutely.
That person that you're helping, then they can see God and his love. It's not a sacrifice. Mm. It's something that you feel the love of God flowing through you into another human.
That is why Jesus was crying when he was praying this prayer in John 17. He says, because through this union, they will know who I am.
Yeah.
Mm. Only if we are in union with each other, only if we are in union with God, only then people will know who I am. Mm. Otherwise, what is the point of all this? Yeah. Lisa, what did you learn?
Well, I love to think that God cared enough to come and to, you know, he created everything, and then he comes, and it's just so important to remember how important that we are to God. And no matter what, I mean, we should always follow him, but it's not because of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes when I'm freaking out about something, my dad will call me and he says, you know, what will matter in the end? Like, do you think that if you get a bad grade on this, I will not love you? And what matters more, that I love you or that you get a good grade? No, obviously it doesn't mean that I should, I'll give up. I'm not going to try to get a good grade.
Yeah.
But the point is that I just need to remember that my dad loves me. And I can...
And your heavenly dad loves you even more.
And it reminds me, you know, it reminds me of God's love. And that's what we need to do is remember that no matter what happens, that's our value.
This is great. This is great. Yeah, Stephen.
Man, there's just so much in this, man. It's hard to pick one. But, you know, I think I'll just piggyback off of Alyssa. I think that'll be safe. she spoke earlier about, you know, how awesome it is to be a child of God. And you were saying with that last few passages there, or your last few points, that, you know, we don't have fear anymore. Mm-hmm. And that even when things hurt happen, you know, it's not the end of the road. And I think that that's just the most amazing thing to bring into my life. And I want to bring that more into mm-hmm. my life, is that once I realize I have the most powerful entity, the one who made everything,
yeah.
it was pre-time. Is my father.
Yes.
You know, and he's working, even there's a pain. If I'm going to get shots, mm-hmm. you know, when I remember as a kid, we had to get shots, my parents would be sitting there looking at me getting the shot, and I'm like, you know, why are you letting this happen to me? There was some purpose there, mm-hmm. you know, that was going to benefit me in a specific way. And I just think that that's one of the most awesome things about being a Christian, is just knowing that there's a purpose, and there's somebody who's seen the end from the beginning, and he's going to work it out for you. And I think that when you take on the child mentality, mm-hmm. that God is your father, that you can have that peace.
This is beautiful. Wow, I learned a lot today. And it's simply amazing. And I want to be in that union with Christ. So thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Sergio, for this great discussion that we had. And thank you for joining us. And please don't go anywhere, because after a short break, I will be back with today's conclusion.
All day long, I solve problems. It's nuts and bolts and grease. And I love it. But at the end of the day, I think about the world's problems. I wonder why we're all here and how it will end. But I found something that makes sense of it all. Takes the nuts and bolts of history and paints a bigger picture. Now, hope.
I know I'm looking for something, but what? Peace? Purpose? Meaning? I'm still not sure. But I know it's going to take faith.
In the so-called prologue to the Gospel according to John, we actually see the incarnation of God. He's coming into this world. John says that the Word became flesh, that is, God became human. He became one of us. He became, in fact, the human being we know as Jesus. That's the opening theme of the Gospel. If you want to know who the true God is, look long and hard at Jesus. Jesus, before even time was created, was with God. He was and is one with God. But he loved the world so much that he chose to descend into it to be unified with us. Jesus once challenged darkness when he was creating light, and today he is challenging darkness that is deeply hidden within us. Jesus is with us today and is willing to fill your life with light and real joy. I can almost feel how hearts around the globe are willing to accept him as our response to God's desire to unite with us. And in response to this desire, we also want to experience true union with God. Only by experiencing union with Christ, our life will be transformed. And by union with Christ, lives around us will be touched. Until next time, stay connected with Jesus Christ in your everyday life and on Cross Connection. And I would like to especially thank you for being with us for this special season series of Cross Connection, Season's Greetings.